Guys, it's MazeMan112, and I'm here with Mr. Punkman87, and this is the first ever podcast for the Whiskey Bravo Squad, so let's go ahead and jump right into it. First, I want to go ahead and say congrats to Mr. Punkman87. He got himself a partnership. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, thanks for the congrats. But yeah, now, I am now partnered with CreatorX, which is, I guess, ran by Full Screen Entertainment. If you guys want more information about that, check out the video I just uploaded on my channel. It's pretty much called CreatorX Partnership. It explains everything about it. But luckily, I'm very thankful to be a part of that network now. But yes, I am a partner. Thank you.
Well, that's really cool. Now, it's CreatorX, not GamerX?
No, it's CreatorX.
For some reason, I thought it was GamerX.
Yeah, it's weird, man. It's CreatorX by Full Screen. And CreatorX is actually kind of aimed for smaller channels, you know, just to kind of help expose your name, get you out there, and pretty much offer support if you need anything.
All right, that's really cool. All right, let's go ahead and see if we have any kind of echo up there. So if anyone's in the comment section below or on the side or wherever it's at, let us know, because we had quite an echo. So this is our second run through at it. The next thing I wanted to go ahead and talk about real quick is just real quick, the map pack. Now, the Revolution map pack has now been out for both of us, including the PC. How do you feel about it so far?
Actually, I think it's pretty good for a first map pack by Treyarch. The only map I'm not a big fan of is the downhill one. I just think it's too much in my opinion, you know. The main thing that kind of irritates me about that map is the freaking gondolas. Because I mean, there's been a couple times where I've had good gameplay and I had a pretty good streak going here, and then I'm just not looking to the left, right, of me, and then all of a sudden I die because a freaking gondola just hits me. It just irritates me. But overall, I think it's a good map pack. I like the turned game mode for zombies. It's pretty fun. And then the Peacekeeper, you know, it's a hit or miss, but my favorite map is Grind. I love the colors. I just love the layout. I just think it's a great map.
Yeah, I have to agree. Grind is by far my favorite map. I also like Mirage, and it seems like, you know, Mirage, it's just a little bit different because there's not a lot of set buildings. There's a couple of nice, those little sniper perches that you got to deal with. But it just seems like the way they have A and C Dom, I play a ton of Domination, kind of set up so close together, it almost makes you bring a whole different strategy into the game. I really like that. But on Grind, the colors of it just seems so vibrant and just really seems to pop, and I love that. It's just visually, you know, kind of pleasing to the eye. And they bring in all these different angles. You have, you know, where you can kind of roll up a ramp to get a whole new vantage point and give you a different elevation, and almost brings a whole nother characteristic into your strafe that I'm absolutely loving at this point in time. I could play that map all day long. Downhill, I'm with you. Downhill, it just seems a little bland. And maybe it's just because I'm not a big fan of these snow maps. It seems like every time you have a snow map, it's sniper heaven.
Yeah, that's very true. But it seems like they can't have a Call of Duty without a snow map. You know, it's like they have to throw it in there because it wouldn't be like Call of Duty, apparently.
You're right. They always throw in that one token, a snow map into everything. But going on to it, the Peacekeeper. How do you feel about the Peacekeeper? Because I'm really not loving this gun at all. What's your feelings?
Same here, man. Like, you know, I think it's pretty cool. I think Treyarch had good intentions when they released the Peacekeeper. It's the first gun ever to come out of a DLC. I think it's kind of like a hit or miss, like I said, but personally, I'm not a fan with it. I think the reload is way too slow. I think the range is pretty bad. But I've seen guys that know how to rock it, man. You know, they put a suppressor in the bad boy, and they get some good gameplay. But personally, I'm not a fan of it. I just think they can do a little better, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. It seems like there's no consistency in the weapon. It seems like sometimes it is absolutely just a death laser. It takes two hit markers. They're down. They're out. And you're absolutely loving it. You're having a good time. You're giggling to your friends. You're talking all that smack. And then other times, you got to put a whole clip in somebody, and they still just kind of turn and shoot you. And I don't know if it's just the gun or if it's all the different patches that they've made in Black Ops 2. I don't remember in the past where they've done so many patches and so many updates and upgrades to all these weapons. And it's really confusing. You have to stay on top of it to know what you want to run and what the setup is going to optimize your gameplay.
Personally, I agree with you, man. I think that there are so many patches focused on the SMGs. Which I kind of understand, but I wish that they would address the whole pistol thing in the game. Like, I just think those pistols are way overpowered. Because you'd be surprised how you have one guy running like lightweight and freaking hardline, and he just has that one like automatic pistol gun.
I can't. The Cat 40.
Something like that, dude. And it's that brown looking gun, it's just so irritating because you could have like, you know, MP7 unloading in him, but he shoots you 2 times and you just die.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I understand them wanting to make the pistol almost a viable weapon, but especially if they run akimbo. The Akimbo Cat 40s is just absolutely hell. And the Akimbo B23Rs, the same thing with those. They just, you know, mow people down. And to me, you shouldn't have, if you're in a close situation, an SMG should dominate a pistol, you know, 8 out of 10 times. I could see every once in a while, but it got to the point where they had to ban the Akimbo Cat 40s in the MLG events because everybody was running it and they were just way overpowered.
Yeah, I mean, it's it's very true, man. Like, if you come across a guy with Akimbo, those dual pistols, man, like, you'll die. He'll kill you, regardless of how many shots you get ahead of him, you know? It's messed up.
Yeah, and it just seems like Black Ops 2 has been the most balanced I've seen the guns in a real long time. Before, you would have a couple SMGs that would just completely dominate, whether or not it be, you know, the AK-47U in Black Ops or the FAMAS. And now you just have these, you know, this gambit of different weapons you could use. And it's even throwing in some of these assault rifles now. And I just feel like this is all for naught because your connection's shitty. It doesn't matter how well the guns are balanced if you're always hopping around and your connection's not, you know, balanced.
Yeah, that's very true, man. Like, if you're running a great connection, obviously you're going to have the upper hand on your enemies. But I think I agree with you. It's good to see that they're trying to balance out the weapons, but overall, I think Black Ops needs to address the whole connection issues. I mean, it's pretty bad that I've seen.
I did that video on it a while ago. I just am firmly a believer that this is going to be the legacy of Black Ops 2. It's going to be the shitty connection. And even if they were go ahead and correct it at this point, I think it's too late in the ball game. That's just what people are going to know it for.
Yeah, I mean, probably the next couple months, we're going to get the news on the new Call of Duty game, dude. Everyone's going to be focusing on that. The upcoming, you know, game needs to be released in November, but I agree with you 100%. I think the legacy of Black Ops 2 is probably, it's going to be a bad one. It's going to be the horrible connection, the lagging issues, and just, it makes me not want to play this as often because I know if you get a bad connection, you're pretty much screwed.
Yeah, that really does suck. Now, something that Black Ops 2 has done that they haven't done before that really, really bugs me is these microtransactions. I just feel like a lot of us bought the season pass, which is a $50 pass, thinking that you're going to put out 3 map packs, so we're really only saving about $10 there, and we're giving you all this money in advance and really putting our blind faith into you. And everybody knows that there's a connection problem, besides, I guess, those at Treyarch, because they've yet to even, you know, say that there is any kind of issue. And I feel like instead of doing this, they had already planned on having these microtransactions, and they're just, you know, really milking this cash cow. It just really bugs me on a moral standpoint as a businessman.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. It's just a way of them to nickel and dime everyone that plays the game. And, you know, I can see, yeah, I agree with, you know, a map pack coming out 3 times a year. I understand that, but, like, when you have to pay for, like, an extra calling card or some kind of extra slots for your guns, like 10 more custom class slots or more slots for your to save gameplay, I just think that's total BS, dude. And it's not like they're not making enough money. I mean, Black Ops 2 ranked in over $1 billion the first 15 days it was released. I mean, that's crazy. And we all know that Activision and Call of Duty is going to do it once again coming this November with a new game. So I don't agree with it, but I could see why they do it, because they want to get those bonuses for themselves and make more money. But it's really unfortunate to see that they're focusing more on money than the actual community of who's playing the game. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's almost like they forgot about the community that made them who they are at this point in time. We are absolutely infatuated with the game. We are, you know, it's become a lifestyle, and you really haven't seen games kind of take that kind of, you know, perspective since, I guess you could say, like, Pac-Man kind of started it all, where people were just absolutely crazed and, you know, would take all their quarters down to the local arcade and just pump them in there. And it just seems now they're catering, they're helping out the MLG guys, they're making all the updates for them, and they're kind of leaving the common player, their core group, behind, and it just really bugs me. Hopefully they throw us a bone here later on or extend our elite or, you know, do something to help us out, because, you know, it almost leaves you with that thirst to try playing some other games, whether or not it's Battlefield 3 or something along those lines.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. It's unfortunate, but we got to remember that Activision is running a company, and they're going to do what's best for them and help us make more money. So.
Yeah. So another thing that I'm really excited about is some of these new games that are coming out. I haven't played a lot of the Assassin's Creed. I played a little bit of the second one, but this one, for some reason, I don't know if it's just because it has pirates in it. I really kind of want to play it. Have you played any Assassin's Creed?
Actually, I have not. I know that they are big. I just haven't had a chance in plenty of them, but I heard great things about them.
Yeah, that and then the big game that I know a lot of people are excited about is GTA 5. I started playing GTA when it was the top-down view on my old buddy's Mac and everything, and it was just great then to get the flamethrower and you'd kind of take out the Boy Scouts or whatever, then they were kind of marching around. And then Grand Theft Auto has just always seemed to kind of revolutionize what we expect from a game, especially a free world, kind of a Sandlot type game. Are you pretty excited for this game as well?
Yeah, obviously I am. I know it's gonna be for one thing, the graphics will be great as always. It'll be amazing. Second of all, just they have the ability to just do what you want when you want to. I think that's so cool. And I agree with you. I didn't play the first Grand Theft Auto, but I played number two, kind of when they did that third person perspective. And I love that game. I remember I used to like get like all five police badges on, and just like have all like the SWAT team come in, the army come in, and just try to fight them off as much as you can. And I think that's what made the game so much fun. It's like you don't have to play the missions. If you just want to fuck around, you could do that. And I remember just spending hours and hours and hours just doing stupid shit like that in the game. And I loved it. It was amazing.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. It almost brings, like I said, it's got that Sandlot type, perspective to it. So if you wanted to go and look for hookers, you could do that. And I know, you're probably just like me. I know you did as well. And
I won't lie to you, man. I have. I've never gone to dark alleyways, so.
And that was the whole great thing. It just seemed like Rockstar games are very edgy. They kind of play with that, what's politically correct and what's not. And I'm excited to see that just because they always kind of broaden the horizon, kind of open the public's eyes of what the game can do and push it to its limits.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if they're really, when they're developing this game, if they're looking more for the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox 720 and are going to kind of backwards port it into the PS3 and the Xbox 360, or if they're making it just for this generation of console and are going to work for Grand Theft Auto 6 to be the big one out on the new console.
Good question, man. But I think it's going to be released this coming holiday season, so that's when the new consoles are supposed to be coming out. And I have a feeling that they're probably going to maybe do like a dual game on both generations of consoles, and I could totally see them doing that because it would be a total cash cow for them. They would rake in so much dough on that. Everyone would be buying the game on the new consoles anyways, and I just think that if they're able to do that, it probably just put GTA on a new level totally.
Yeah, I'm just concerned because the Grand Theft Auto guys, they always take a real long time to develop their game and make sure everything is just right. That's why we had this delay from May to October. Yeah. But I'm just worried that if this is just not enough time, because I don't even know when the Rango, whatever it was called, the developer kit for the Xbox even came out. I think it might have been after these guys started to go ahead and programming for this.
Yeah, you could be right, man. They might just release it on the PS3 and the current Xbox 360, but I guess we'll just wait and see.
Yeah, and it just seems like that those first patch games that come out with a new console, they're never kind of groundbreaking. They're just the old console with better graphics. And it's not until these developers really learn the ins and outs of the new system and the new bugs and quirks to it that we start really getting these games, like I said, with Grand Theft Auto 4 coming out, that really kind of opened everything up, the whole Pandora's box again.
But the one game I'm really looking forward to that I know is going to come out for PS4, and that is the Watch Dogs. I don't know if you've seen the trailer for that, but
I seen the trailer. When did they first come out with a trailer, like EA or CES or something like that last year?
Yeah, well, then they kind of released it more game footage on the PS4 news event that happened last month. And what I saw from it, the graphics look amazing. It looks like a GTA feel where it's a free world, you do what you want kind of thing, but it gives you the ability to have full control. And what I mean by that is you're able to hack people's accounts, you're able to like hack computers, security cameras. If you want to change, like if you want to cause like an auto accident, you're able to change like the street lights to both sides go green. I mean, that's pretty cool to me. We've never seen that before, and I just think that they're able to, GTA started this whole free world thing, but new companies are able to add a little add their 2 cents into it and make a whole different game. And I'm
Who's that game made by?
That's a good question, man. I'm not too sure on that one.
I was going to say, because you're right, it does look very much like a Rockstar-type game.
Yeah, and I don't think it's Rockstar, though.
They might have sold the engine to someone else or something like that, but you do play like that mastermind hacker that does everything from, it looks like a cell phone, maybe a tablet or something like that.
Yeah.
And another game that comes out that I'm kind of mad about is the God of War. Actually, I think it just came out, the new God of War.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago I did.
Yeah, have you played that at all?
I haven't, but I actually think I'm picking it up, man. You know, I'm getting kind of burnt out of Black Ops 2, and we'll see. I mean, I've heard great things about it. I know the fans are satisfied with it, and it got good reviews, and I'm looking forward to it. Maybe I might pick it up at GameStop or something.
Yeah, have you played any of the God of Wars before?
I think I played the second one. I'm not mistaken, but that's kind of the one that God of War was, like, was really big, you know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I played it for a couple days, and I enjoyed it, but I know the new one got really good reviews on it.
Yeah, because God of War was one of those games that really got me back into gaming. I had bought a PlayStation 2 for Guitar Hero. I really liked Guitar Hero. It's nothing better than, you know, thinking you're an actual rock star. And when I bought God of War, my buddy wound up, you know, let me loan it for a little bit, and it just got the bug kind of catching on fire again. And you know, I played the second one because that one first came out. That was the first game I actually waited in line to to get. And you know, I would have gotten a PlayStation 3, but all my friends had Xboxes. And I've always told anybody when they ask me which console to get whatever one your friends have, because that's the way you're going to have the most fun.
You're absolutely correct, man. I did the same thing when I was looking to buy a PS3 or Xbox 360. My friends had PS3, and I went that route. Plus, you know, the Blu-ray player was a nice addition. So
that's the whole thing. I wound up having to buy a Blu-ray player anyways, but I guess that was so that my girlfriend at the time couldn't be playing when I wanted to. So she's watching her, you know, Bambi, whatever the hell she wants to watch. I can still play my games.
Nice.
Moving on to the PAX convention. PAX East was this weekend. Did you kind of look into anything? Did you excited about anything there?
Actually, man, I haven't had a chance to look into that stuff, but I heard that it was in. They had some kind of reveals, but nothing great though.
Yeah, it kind of looked like PAX is no longer really the place to go ahead and premiere to kind of get a big news release or anything like that. There's other conventions for that. It just kind of brings. It's almost just a spot for products to be showcased and come and test out some new games and stuff like that. But I didn't hear anything too crazy about it. The craziest thing I seen about it, I know that you're the same way as me. The first person shooter that I ever played was GoldenEye Bond 007 on the Nintendo 64, and they actually had a GoldenEye tournament. I seen that in the agenda there. I thought that was pretty cool.
That is pretty epic, dude. I loved GoldenEye 64. I remember going to my friend's house for the weekend and just playing GoldenEye nonstop, and it was epic fun. Like, you know, the big head mode, the paintball mode, they had freaking proximity mines, and the cool thing about that, it was like they didn't have multiplayer, so you just played with your friends, and you're all in the same room right there with the four corners games going.
Split screen.
It was hard to see, man, but you just did the best you could, and you just had so much fun, and I missed that, so I wish I could have competed in that tournament. So
that's when you had the whole screen watching problem. You were watching my screen, I know you were. And yeah, that definitely was a game. It was, like you said, it was before you had any kind of online play or anything like that, so you had to go and try to find as many players that would play with you.
Oh, yeah.
And you wanted to, you know, as many people as possible, but there was times when if you just were tearing it up in the game, they didn't want to play with you at all.
Exactly. You couldn't rage quit, man, because you were all right there. So
yeah, so it was definitely fun. Definitely many hours kind of sitting there playing that along with some Mario Kart. And I didn't even have a Nintendo 64 for the longest time, so we always had to go down to my buddy's house. And I actually wound up buying another 64 when I was 20 or 21 just for that very reason, to play that game again.
Wow.
And I thought about bringing back, you know, kind of a, you know, a retro-type game thing, and I got that game out, tried playing it. I can't even walk around. I look like, you know, my wife Trump trying to play it or something. It's absolutely horrible.
I remember, like, that thumbstick, man, but it was, like, dead center of the controller.
Yeah, it's goofy. I could not walk around. I gave it probably about 2 or 3 minutes, and I said, you know what? Screw this. my Xbox.
Did you say, do you remember 64 was the first console to ever, like, incorporate the whole, like, Rumble Pack thing for the controller?
Yep.
I remember my cousin bought 64, and he had Star Fox, dude, and it came with a freaking Rumble Pack.
Yeah.
And, like, I never played a game like that where, like, the controller shook, and it was a huge thing. And
it was huge. And you also had to have an expansion pack for the memory, too, that you'd have to plug in the controllers every once in a while.
That's right, man.
If you want to play, like, Gauntlet Legends with four people, you need to have that expansion pack.
I feel, like, slow.
But another thing that I kind of seen out there at the PAX party was a lot of YouTubers kind of go out there and you know, kind of just kind of get together and have a good time. And X-Jaws had this giant party. I think he was the one coordinating. They rented this giant mansion, and they were just kind of inviting anybody that wanted to come. They were calling it the Bad Kid Party. And did you see anything about this? I know you used to follow X-Jaws.
I used to follow, man, when I watched YouTube faithfully, but I actually didn't know anything about it, and to be frankly, I'm jealous I wasn't invited, dude. I wish I would go out there and party with those guys. But
that's the whole thing. Anytime you can go for a good party, that's definitely good. I'm just kind of curious because there was a lot of older YouTubers there, and you're a YouTuber now, so you know that you're always thinking about how you can capture anything, how you can film it, how you can record it, how you can bring it to your subscribers.
Right.
And I just feel like he's only 19 years old. There's got to be a ton of underage drinking out there. And some of these guys are, you know, in their late 20s, early 30s. It's kind of risky, especially knowing that the cameras are out there to be taking that risk.
Exactly, man. I mean, especially, I remember being in high school and going to house parties and stuff. And obviously, there's always some guy that's over 21 there who's buying the beer for you all. And then you just take the chance of getting caught by the police. Luckily, we never did. But those guys are on YouTube. And they're, like you said, their lives are on film. And those older guys who were there with those younger people, like, X-Jaws 19. I thought he's older than that. I didn't know he was that young.
Yeah, I think he just turned 19 too.
That's a big chance you're taking, dude. That's like an equation for disaster, in my opinion. But
that's the whole thing. And I feel like when we were that age, though, you didn't have cameras everywhere. I mean, cell phones were just kind of becoming prevalent. But no one had, you know. I mean, if you had a recorder, it was someone with a big, you know, has VHS thing on them, and yeah. You know, it might be one person. Now everybody has a camera / you know, video camcorder. On them at all times, and it just makes super dangerous, especially when you're somebody who's kind of in the limelight. You're kind of living that internet-type fame where there's going to be lots of people who are out to get you and knock you off your pedestal.
You're absolutely right, man, and that's a good point. You know, back then, like, I think if your friend had a camera phone, like, they were the rich kid, you know, like, you're like, holy shit, I'm jealous of you.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get a cell phone until after I graduated high school, and it didn't even have a camera on it.
Yeah, dude. So, but now today, the whole game has changed, and everyone has that capabilities of uploading to YouTube, and that's a good point.
Yeah, and I've recently read something on Chive, and it was talking about how the internet has become a whole lot more interesting now that Russians always have all these dash cams. Have you seen any of these Russian dash cam stuff?
I saw, actually, that's funny you bring that up, because I think it was about a month ago on the popular page of YouTube, a Russian guy was driving his car with a dash cam. And all of a sudden, like, you see this car, like, come and, like, roll across the road doing, like, tires and shits flying all over the place. And, like, it was someone, I think people died in that accident, dude, but it was on the popular page on YouTube. And I was like, holy crap, how are you able to capture that as well as like, a meteor shower, like, that big comet that came up in Russia, dude? Like, that's crazy stuff. But I kind of wish I had a camera in my truck, man. It's like I could capture cool shit like that. But
all you would capture for me is me raging at the people that can't drive the speed limit.
Well, out here in Arizona, dude, like, I know you're from Michigan and all, man, but we have a problem that every wintertime, freaking snowbirds, man. Like, you people from Minnesota, Wisconsin, anywhere there where it snows are out here, man. They drive, like, 80 miles per hour. It's so freaking annoying, dude. So that's the problem. We have snowbirds like that.
Yeah, and I mean, that bugs me more than someone that's, you know, driving kind of erratically is the people who don't drive the speed limit. That and don't use their turn signal. That kind of stuff kind of bugs me a little bit.
And, you know, like, it's like a car full of old people with white hair, and they're all going to freaking Denny's to get, like, the early bird special kind of thing. So
they got nothing, nothing going on.
They're all dressed up to go to the grocery store and stuff. It's just so annoying, man.
So tell me, what kind of current TV shows are you kind of watching at all? Got anything going
I watch Aqua Teen Hunger Force. I don't know if you've
seen
that.
Oh, I love Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
DeCarl, he's my idol, dude. I love that guy. Like, he cracks me up. God, what else do I watch?
Now, how do you stay up late enough to watch that?
Dude, you'd be surprised, man. I make it work. I have a DDR in my house. I record those and I watch it. But to be honest with you, Maze Man, I actually watch YouTube, man. You can find anything on YouTube.
Yeah, you just watch it on YouTube. It's only like a 12-minute show or something like that.
Yeah, man, and totally. That's, I don't even watch cable really, but I do love Aqua Teen. I do love Family Guy, and I love The Simpsons. So that's pretty much my shows.
You know what? Most of the everything that I watch is always online content. I was kind of thinking about it, and I'm like, wow, I really don't do anything besides watch people on YouTube, and it's not even the big people anymore. Since I've gotten into YouTube, I don't watch the big guys anymore. The people I watch are the smaller channels. Most of the time, it's actually the people who are my subscribers. Like I said, I love the interaction. I love to get back, and I love to know what's going on with them. And it just seems like the smaller channels are still at, I want to say the glory days of YouTube, but before people were so money conscious with YouTube, and before it seems like it's getting very into the corporate side of things at this point in time.
I agree with you, man. Like, I'll be honest with you. Like, I have a video that I made a couple weeks ago about how I felt like the whole game community and YouTube is so monopolized, dude. And I just think like these big YouTubers like WhiteBoy, Xshaws, LDA, Woody's Gamertag, like they have like it pretty much locked down. And when you have close to 2 million subscribers, dude, I mean that's the power and the reach you have to like you know, it's amazing to me. I can't even wrap my mind around that, but. Personally, when I was before YouTube, I used to watch those guys religiously. Anything they upload, I used to spend my on my phone, my iPad. I used to watch them. But now that I'm doing my own channel, like I didn't realize the amount of work, the time that you have to put in the commentary. That it's crazy. And I have respect for other YouTubers like who have young channels like myself, like yours and X Willow. And I watch those guys now over those big guys any day. And that's personally how I feel. And it means a lot to me when you get a like or a comment, even if it's like, even if it's if they don't agree with you, dude. As long as someone's you know is watching your stuff and they give your their own perspective, it makes you think about, you know, like there's other people's opinions out in the world and you gotta kind of respect it. But I agree with you, man. I would choose a younger channel over a big channel any day.
Yeah, and I definitely, like you said, you definitely have a whole lot more respect. I still have respect for those big channels, especially because one, how they deal with the haters at that amount of value, because you get a couple negative comments, and it does kind of get you at the core. If you're the same way as I am too, I mean, you wake up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, and the first thing you do is kind of grab your phone and see what you got, any messages or not, and even reply to them regardless of what time it is. And it just kind of, the little stuff brings a smile to your face, and I just, like I said, I really like to interact with everybody. And but with like you said, with it becoming in the corporate kind of takeover here, the prime example is with the new YouTube layout. You have the new layout, and it'll say, you know, similar channels or related channels, and every single one of them will have over a million subscribers.
Exactly, and personally, in my opinion, I think those guys are doing okay. They don't really need the, you know, the
Yeah, they don't really need the
advertisement.
exposure.
Yeah, but it's unfortunate, but I think it all comes back to like the whole what's to make them more money kind of thing, and I understand that, but just like give the younger the new channels a chance to expose their content. Because I mean, I know that I have good stuff. I know you have excellent videos, and it's a shame when you know you upload a video and you get 10 views in 2 days, you know, but it
Yeah,
happens.
it's definitely it's very depressing at times. It's almost like a roller coaster is kind of how I feel about it. I'm getting close to 400 subscribers, so you know I'm kind of watching my subscriber count extra hard lately, and you know kind of track all the analytics and the stuff like that. And you know as soon as you get close to any of those milestones, it seems like it just kind of comes to a grinding halt, and you kind of step back and not get so focused on the numbers or anything like that, and just do it for the reason why you started it. I didn't start it wanting to become freaking internet superstar or anything like that. I just enjoy gaming and I enjoy interaction with people, so kind of bring those together. And also, I enjoy a new challenge, and this definitely has been challenging. I thought you just play the game, you record it, and you send it on its way, you're done, you know, an extra hour of your day or something like that.
It's
But
way more than that, man.
it really consumes you. It's all I think about. I'm sitting at work, and you know, I'll think about something I want to talk about. You know, I get out my scratch pad and write it all down and everything like that.
Well, congrats to you, man. You know, I'm so happy for you that you got your close to 400 subscribers. You deserve it. You know, it's really cool to see that, you know, you're getting recognition for your stuff, and I'm happy for you. And I agree with you, man. Like, it does consume you. There's times when I'm at work on my iPhone or I'm searching the internet for Call of Duty information, and you think about the next video. What's your next video going to be on? You know, and it's a good hobby of mine, and I enjoy playing video games. And it's kind of like I figured it'd be a way for me to like tell my wife, "Hey, I'm making a video, so I need to play my game," so she's on my ass
I need
constantly. You
gameplay,
know,
babe. I need
exactly.
gameplay.
So.
Yeah, that's definitely. I feel the same way with you, constantly trolling stuff and looking what you can go on. And like I said, it's almost like YouTube itself is a video game. You know, it's like a meta game. You know, it's really big, and there's so many little components to it that you got to take into account. And it's definitely it's a challenge. Like I said, I love challenges, and I'm really enjoying it. Even though I'm not uploading on a daily basis like I was, it was just I was getting too run down, and I guess it's kind of, you know, the kind of doldrum part of the whole lifespan of Black Ops 2, and my channel is really based around Black Ops 2. But in that same aspect, I'm ready to go ahead and start playing some more games and kind of, you know, get back to my gaming roots.
Dude, actually, I agree with you, man. Like, I think it's, you know, we're going to go into April now, and I'm already burnt out of Black Ops 2, and you think of new ideas, and like, that's why I have, like, you know, the band thing on my channel. Like, I love music, and I love discussing that, and as well as, like, I know I think of some random shit sometimes in my crazy mind, but that's why, like, the reaction videos, it's just a new perspective, and it kind of gets your spark going again for YouTube. And I love playing games, don't get me wrong, but it blew my mind how you were able to upload daily. Like, as long as I watched you, man, you did a video every day.
Yep.
And I had respect for that. I was like, that's so freaking cool, and that's hard to do, man. So
yeah, and yeah. I mean, I was doing it. A lot of people guys know I'm married. I work full-time, and I have she's almost 5 months old now, a daughter. So it's just super, you know, stressful to try balancing everything. And you guys have heard the saying, happy wife, happy life. And that's definitely the first thing, you know, to kind of try to keep her happy and keep you happy at the same time. And I just felt like, you know, my content was kind of lacking. I'm sure I'll amp it up again, especially, you know, when the new consoles come out and the new games come out and you know, when I'm kind of feeling on fire, you know.
Yep.
Another thing we're going to go ahead and talk about is a little bit adult-oriented here. But so I'm searching the internet, and next thing I know, it's this movie. It's Octomom Home Alone. Have you heard about this movie?
I've seen it, man. I'm not going to lie. I've seen clips of it, and it's nothing great.
No, don't lie. You've seen it in its entirety. I know. Yeah, gotcha, gotcha.
I was like, all right, it's Octomom. She's a celebrity, I guess. And
you have to watch it.
I watched it. And the best thing I think on her is it's a rack, dude. She's nice. You know, breasts.
I was a little bit surprised by her physique as well. I mean, her face is hit up. It really is. But you expect eight kids all at once that she's going to have stretch marks to hell. And, you know, you don't know what they did in post. I mean, they could have kind of had photoshopped it as well. But
you think that after popping out 8 or 16 kids, like, when that lady walks, like, you don't hear a freaking, like, an echo in the canyon kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely crazy. So she does have a nice body going on. But so the funniest part of the entire movie, or the part that I seen, was, you know, it's kind of her, and it's just her kind of self-pleasuring herself or whatever. And it's got, you know, the cheesy bow-down, you know, cheesy kind of porno music kind of going on. And they have to turn the music up so that you can't hear her loud ass. It's like, yeah, turn that music back up. And I don't know any time you've been watching any kind of adult film and you're like, can you turn the music up a little bit?
Exactly, man. Like, it's like I know what you mean, but, I mean, it's Octomom, and I'm sure it's like, okay, we'll probably make some money off this thing. Because, I mean, that whole industry is like a multi-billion dollar thing. And
didn't they pay like $1 million to her or something like that?
I'm sure. I mean, she needed the money bad, dude. But
she's facing charges now for welfare fraud.
I'm not surprised, man, but I mean, she does have a nice rack. I wouldn't mind seeing those in real life, but that's just my opinion.
They're paid for, they're not real. Kind of going along with that, do you go on Chive at all?
A little bit.
I go on Chive, and I love to see the pictures. And it's not so much, I know there's a ton of like half naked women, and they're women on bikinis and stuff like that. And I watch those a little bit, but I just want to see the funny pictures is really what I come for. And I see this picture, and this two, it's a mom and daughter, and it's like, guess their profession. And they look absolutely hit up. My first guess would have been like prostitutes or hookers or something like that, or crackheads. That's what they do for a living. And they're a mother-daughter porn duo. Have you heard of these people called the Sextons?
The Sextons, dude. I feel like it's a creeper, man. But I have heard of them, and I guess I've seen it too, but The mom is not that bad looking, dude, to be honest with you. Like, she looks kind of rough on the edges, but, like, I've seen her acting, and she's kind of pretty good. But her daughter, she's pretty fine, man, Monica Sexton. And I wouldn't mind seeing her in real life either, but yeah, I've seen them.
Yeah, I was just like super surprised, and the one thing I looked at, it kind of gave you know their stats or whatever, and it kind of gives you know their date of birth, their height, their weight type thing. And the mom is born in 1954.
Oh my
and
god.
And that makes her older than my mom.
Okay, I didn't know that information, dude. But they were on Howard Stern. I listened to Howard Stern, and they actually said like when they're doing their acting that they make it very clear that they cannot touch each other. They cannot like have any like contact. Because if they do, they get arrested for that kind of stuff, dude. And so that's why like when they have like their
even though they're both 18.
Yeah, it's they cannot touch each other. They cannot like do anything sexual. So that's incest, and they could get in trouble for that, dude. So it's kind of weird to see them in the movies, but like you know, like one will be up here, one will be down here, kind of thing.
See, I don't think I've seen any. I've seen some still images, and then I just seen the article. I didn't see any video.
I feel so fucking.
They're
creepy.
Always separated, huh?
Yeah, I promise you guys, I don't watch porn 24/7, but these two stories I've heard about. So.
Right. So now that you are our porn consumer in here and expert. last thing I wanted to go ahead on was do you watch any basketball with the men's tournament being on right now?
To be honest, man, I'm not a big sports nut. The only sports I watch is wrestling, but when it comes to football, baseball, basketball, I really don't follow that kind of stuff. So
now,
sorry.
When you say wrestling, are you talking WWE or are you talking like Olympic wrestling? Or
WCW, WWF, dude. That was my childhood right there. I love that stuff.
See, yeah, like 7th, 8th grade, I was huge into the WWE. Actually, it was a WWF. I think they were just getting ready to change their name to WWE for the whole World Wildlife Foundation kind of suing them. And you had Stone Cold Steve Austin, who didn't love him, coming out with, you know, slamming a couple beers because Stone Cold said still would give me the stunner. And then The Rock kind of came out and kind of really transitioned or revolutionized everything at the whole entertainment side of it.
I guess you could say, man, The Rock was my man crush, dude. That guy was a beast. And when it came to wrestling, like every match he was in, I recorded it. I bought his book. You know, I was back in 8th grade, and like I actually remember having The Rock T-shirts. You know, and wearing those to junior high because I thought I was a badass.
Shirts.
Yeah, dude. Like, can you smell The Rock's cooking? And but I think that whole era, like, it's probably the best that wrestling's ever seen, in my opinion. And But I used to watch this religiously. Every Monday Night Raw, Thursday night was SmackDown.
I'm just reading some of the comments here. See, you can't see the comments either, can you?
No. What's up?
What about this XZD?
He's one of my subscribers, yeah.
Yeah, he's leaving some comments. Did you? I think he might want to join if you got his if you guys can hear us or anything like that. I'll have him try to send a request to us.
Come on, say hi.
I think you should get that. Right?
Yeah, I can't see nothing, dude. I can't see nothing.
Yeah, you might be able to if you pull up YouTube and go to like when you're at the very beginning on my channel.
Let me see.
Where it's kind of got the home thing, where it's got the featured, it's like a quick tip, C4. You should be able to go to the home and feed.
Okay, yeah, I see the comments now, dude.
So I got a little bit of echo. Is it just you watching it in your...
Yeah, I'm going to cancel it.
You just said just mute it.
Oh, fuck.
That's all right.
I'm a newbie to this kind of stuff.
Oh, he said he'll be $3.99. He said he's going to subscribe to me, and I should thank you. Thank you, Mr. Punk, man.
He's a good guy, man. He plays on PS3. He's a hell of a player. He's really cool. Cool kid. He has a channel himself. Check out his gameplay. It's pretty epic.
Yeah, if he gets on here, we'll talk to him for a little bit. He's still on here. I know you guys kind of dealing with our growing pains here. We probably should be trolling this comment section a little bit quicker. and we're a man down today. X-Will had some family emergency kind of going on, so he had to go take care of that, which is completely understandable. Family does definitely come first.
Exactly. Actually, I don't know if you guys know, but I'm actually telling my subscribers I have to go out of town because my wife's grandpa passed away, so I have to go to the funeral this week. You know, that kind of stuff happens, and, you know, family does come first over anything.
Yeah, I wish it would kind of give us a timeline, let us know when they commented. They should still be there. We got a couple people in there. That's pretty cool. Is there any other topics that you kind of wanted to go ahead and talk about?
I'm trying to think, man. I have a question for you. I know that you've been doing this YouTube thing longer than me, Maze Man, and personally, what level would you... Where do you want to be, to say 6 months from now, from a year from now? Like, what would you be content with your channel, like, status-wise? You know, like, how many subscribers would you want? How many... views, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. I mean, I have goals, and to me, they're not really view-based, and they're not really subscriber-based. Yes, subscribers kind of keep you going, keep you motivated, but to me, I would just like to keep having the continued interaction and to watch that kind of grow, and that's the big thing that I really came for is just, you know, the comment sections. I love reading the comment section, but I love to respond to the comments. I love all that side of thing, and I just want to see that continue to grow. Even if it's not at a fast pace, if it's at the pace it is right now, I'm completely content with that. And I just want to kind of stay humble. I see a lot of people who, you know, might get real big and then they just, you know, completely ignore the rest of the people. And like I've stated, the number one people that I really watch are my subscribers and all these smaller channels. And I would just like to kind of keep that in the same aspect of keeping the channel at the same growth rate and same outlook. Keeping the personal side of it and organized and in line as well.
I agree with you, man. That's an awesome answer, and I want to be there right with you. Like, I want my channel to obviously grow, but I want to make sure I'm able to interact with my subscribers, answer any questions, or just basically help them out. Like, people help me and my channel grow, and it means a lot to me. That, you know, that I feel like we have a little community ourselves, and that's cool to me. You know, I enjoy that.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice. Do you know how to pronounce his name?
I think it's Azdek.
Azdek?
Yeah.
I guess I could see that. To say, he doesn't have a webcam, but it doesn't matter if he wants to come on without a webcam. We'll let him join.
Sure.
I just don't know how to. Either that or if he's still there, you can send us a... I don't know if you want to post your email and or if you have a Google Plus account. You need a Google Plus account to be able to join, and we'll send you an invite. I know there's probably what a 10 to 15 second delay or something like that.
Hey, dude, real quick, man. What should I get him in? Can I make a quick phone call?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thanks.
All right, to go ahead and kind of entertain you guys by myself. Yeah, you know, we'll go ahead and talk about some stuff. As you guys know, I had a video up. Probably earlier today. Anyways, the video was a fail from Daisy. I think I took it down because we had a little bit of questions. It had a podcast announcement as well, and that's when I found out that X-Willow, who was going to be our third person in here, we were supposed to actually maybe get a fourth one as well, that he had that family emergency. Oh, sorry, excuse me. So, you know, I didn't know what was going to go on. I didn't know what Mr. Punkman wanted to do, if he wanted to go ahead and continue on or not. But I need your guys' help. Because I'm trying to play DayZ on the PC. I have it all installed. I have it working correctly. I'm not too sure on knowing which server I should go into. And I know that the servers are all around the world. And I don't know exactly what to look for to enter these servers. So I finally get into one. And I got in one probably, I don't know, probably about a week ago when I first got it all set up. I got into one. It was great. Ran in there. There was like one other person in the entire world. Which kind of sucks because I kind of want to have that kind of interaction, but I don't know the button layout at all, so I guess it's kind of good. I got a zombie, so I shot him with my pistol, and I'm like, is that a zombie or is that a guy? You know, because he was like around me, but he wasn't coming at me. So I shot him with my pistol, and sure as shit, it was a zombie. So he came, you know, running at me, and it kind of sucked, but he ate my face off. I killed him, but I was hurt. So I didn't know what to do because I was hurt. I couldn't get into my inventory. I didn't know any of the button layout. So I kind of got pissed and rage quit. So I didn't do anything until yesterday. Last night, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to play me some DayZ. So I get into it, and it takes me forever to find a freaking server that'll let me play. So I go ahead, and I jump into the server, and I start out as a fucking bird. I'm a bird. And you know, you see me go, caw, 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 flying through the air, going through the buildings, couldn't do nothing. And I don't know what to do wrong. I don't know if this is just a mod that someone had kind of did and kind of fucking with me or whatnot, but it kind of really sucked. And now Mr. Punkman is back, so we can go ahead and jump on another topic.
Sorry about that, guys.
No, that's good. I was just telling him about how I was a bird in DayZ and how that kind of sucked. So, anyways, moving on, my other big question for you is, since you're a PlayStation 3 kind of guy, are you hard set on getting the PlayStation 4, or is it any kind of debate for you of which one you might get?
Actually, right now my heart is set on PS4, but I'm looking to see what Microsoft has to offer, dude. You know, if they have something over the edge or they sort of blow PS4 out of the water, obviously I'm going to pick that up. But, you know, my loyalties lie with PlayStation, but what we're going to have to wait and see what Microsoft Xbox 720 has to offer. I might be swayed, but with, I don't know. Right now on PS4, I'm a loyal fan.
All right, I sent him an invite, so let's see if he has it all set up. And it's Aztec, huh?
Yeah.
See how that goes. We're just trying to fight a lot of technical issues. It's our first run at this. Like I said, we weren't planning on doing this live. A couple of you guys said you guys wanted to see it live, so we figured we would jump in here and kind of work it out. Our first chance at this, we had a horrible echo. But I think we got that all solved out and everything like that, so it should be better. I haven't seen any complaints about echoes. So we're going to try to bring in a subscriber here. His name is Aztec. We sent him a message, and we'll see. I don't know if he has a Google Plus account set up or not. Hope that you got me all excited, man. To me, did we already talk about the legacy of Call of Duty?
A little bit, pretty much. Well, not Call of Duty, like the whole thing. We're talking about Black Ops mostly.
How much life do you think Call of Duty has left?
Personally, I think it's on its way out, man. I just don't think they're going to be able to do this every... Maybe they might have to make a couple more years at this peak of them like being the number one shooter war game, but even with Black Ops 2, like their sales did drop off. They didn't sell as many games, but they made the money still, but I just think that sooner or later people are just going to be totally burnt out of the whole...
See, their unit sales actually went down with Black Ops 2?
That's what I've read, yeah.
Is that the same time period, or was that the full sale?
That was the initial launch. I think Modern Warfare 3 is like has the record still for Black Ops. I mean, for Call of Duty, but Black Ops 2 did not pass that. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, because I knew, like you said earlier, they had blown through $1 billion in sales in, what was like 16 days or 13 days or something like that.
Yeah, 14, 15 days, yeah.
That's absolutely insane to go through that many sales in that short time period like that. Let's see if he might have to try getting all this stuff set up. But we'll see. We'll go ahead and talk about another topic while we're kind of waiting for him. Kind of big news that kind of came out of Alabama, I do believe, is a story about an airport where a 10-year-old was killed by a sign dropping on him. Oh, yeah. Did you read anything about this?
I didn't, man. I didn't even know that took place.
Yeah, I was in this airport. I'm looking for the name of the actual airport. Birmingham Shuttlesworth International Airport. And the family had just came back from a vacation house in Kansas, and it kind of got in the airport. And the airport had just been remodeled, like $201 million in worth of remodeling, and had just kind of gotten back. And this sign that kind of, you know, the departure sign or whatever that's above where everyone kind of walks, 300-pound sign kind of snapped and fell on 6 different people.
Oh, my God.
And it killed the 10-year-old. His mom has a bilateral broken ankles there, fractured ankles, and also some pelvic fractures. And 2 other of his siblings are also hurt. And I don't know how something like this could happen in this day and age with as many safety concerns you have. I sense a huge lawsuit coming out of this.
Exactly, man. And I think it's unfortunate that, I mean, talk about being in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's horrible. And I feel sorry for that family that lost that 10-year-old kid. But I agree with you, man. Whoever survived with mom or dad, that's a massive lawsuit, man. And they're going to be able to sue the hell out of that airport. And maybe even the city, but who knows?
Yeah, I you would think they would have to do some kind of final regulation testing and stuff like that. But you don't think about, in an airport, I'm sure the signage on the wall or the hanging from the ceiling is the last, you know, safety spot that you're actually checking. You're probably looking at terminals and making sure, you know, with all the gas and everything's concealed the way it needs to be.
Exactly.
And that kind of, you know, petty thing is super far down on the list. And it's probably someone with not a lot of experience that's actually
that's a total responsible for it. Freak accident, man. So
yeah, it's definitely pretty crazy to go ahead and see that as well. We're still kind of waiting for Aztec here. He's trying to get on, working on it. You know, I don't know what else you really want to talk about.
I can't think of anything right now, man. I think we pretty much hit all the main areas, you know.
You know what? Yeah, I think we're going to have to go ahead and call it right there. We'll stay on here, so if Aztec does join, we'll go ahead and talk to him for a little bit and go ahead and maybe arrange him for next week. That's going to go ahead and do it for this episode. Let me know what you guys think, if there's areas for improvement. We're definitely looking from you guys. Like I said, this is definitely a work in progress. We're trying to work out the kinks with you guys, so we definitely need your feedback. Make sure you guys leave it in the comment section below. Make sure you guys check out Mr. Punkman87, and also make sure you guys hit that like button. Hit subscribe, and I'll see you guys later.
Thanks for watching, guys.